She may. You're up.
Okay, let's see. Oh, update on preacher's candidate. That's pretty quick. We had an interview today with Michael Womble. He's from the Christian church in the area. He's on the board for CFS. He used to be a lead pastor at the New Heights Christian Church. He grew up here, taught at St. Louis Christian College. I think his dad, he didn't talk about this today, but I think his dad was the dean for many, many years at St. Louis Christian College. Hmm. So we had a good interview. His resume, if you got to read that, it's pretty impressive. It sounds like it's a really good, could be a good fit with some of the stuff here. But Steve and I decided, one thing he said was he prefers a classroom teaching, not preaching. And we kind of saw that as, maybe that's not what we need to, maybe we don't need to pursue that, since one of the biggest things we want is something that he doesn't prefer. So we're going to pray about it for a couple of days and probably call him and say, this isn't going to work. It wouldn't be a good fit with what we're looking for.
And he knew this was a...
Yeah, yeah. And he said, I brought that back up, and he's like, well, yeah, I like preaching, but he likes classroom work and where you've got interaction back and forth. And then if you've looked at any of his sermons, he's... doesn't have the charisma that we're used to, and I'm not sure how that would go over. I don't know. So that's kind of where we are right now with it. And Steve was going to talk to him about possibly, go ahead.
No, so when I read his resume, it read like a family minister. And when I interviewed him today, he came across that he would bring a lot to the table in that area. So our committee is meeting in about 3 weeks of kind of fine-tune the job description, and when we get that done, we'll run that by you guys. And once we do that, depending on what else is going on, I think he would probably be a candidate. Ross, I'll share the video with you, let you look at it, see what you think. He might be a candidate if we are looking at a family minister role. He might be somebody that could maybe walk into that role.
Would it be something where he's children and family minister? Okay.
Yes.
So are we going to get to see the interview, or is it out there now, available?
It's out there. I can send it to you.
Send it to me.
Yeah. Let you guys have a look at it.
Yeah, if you just send it to me, I'll post it up and put it out there for everybody.
Okay.
Awesome. And then we're planning Thursday night at 7 to have our second interview with Jason Mundy, the guy who's the campus minister at University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And so everybody's invited. If you want to be a part of asking questions,
yeah,
you can, right. And I've got the list here. In fact, I printed it off my printer, but it didn't print real well. So I can email it to y'all, and if you want to be a part of it, then we can assign.
Well, you'll need questions. To send us that Zoom link anyway, right?
Yes.
You said that's Thursday?
Thursday night, mm-hmm. 7.
Mm-hmm. 7, okay.
I kind of like what I've seen of him so far.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
One of my concerns is the senior minister there is going to retire in 10 months. And so I'm wondering, is your plan just to go in there? And so we have him in and we offer him a job. And like, I decided to stay here and take a...
Well, they have other... Besides him and the senior minister, there's at least one other minister there.
I don't know.
So, well, I mean, because he mentioned... I watched the interview and he mentioned that... There's a couple of people that rotate, and he was only one of them.
That's right.
So there might be someone else who's kind of already in line. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be.
I was going to talk to Dusty Rush and see if he had any insights also. Jason's done some training with Dusty. So we'll see. And we've got one reference that we can contact. I'll go ahead and contact him before Thursday when we meet.
Okay.
Just to ask him.
So there's Kayleen has sent a couple, so I followed up on those guys. One is in California, and he's a little older. He's been married 34 years, and he's preaching. He's a senior minister in the congregation. And I did reach out to him, and I have not heard much back from him at all. So the other guy is in Kansas City, and he graduated from Pepperdine with an MDiv, but prior to that, he went to York College and did biblical studies and came, he graduated there in 1999. Right now, he's a family pastor, four teenage children that are all, they all are homeschooled. And so one of the things he asked me was that, hey, there's one income in my family, so what would the salary range be for the job? Because all my kids are being homeschooled, and I couldn't share anything with them, obviously. So I just told him there's some, you know, it just depends on a lot of factors, and we really couldn't nail down the salary range until we had a chance to begin to talk to him. And so he said, well, he just wanted to maybe pray about next steps, and so he and his wife will be praying about that. So so I'll let you all know if he decides he wants to do an initial interview study.
So he's currently a family ministry at a
church in Kansas City. Yes. Christian church. I think it's Northland Christian Mission Church in Kansas City.
Look online, see if their budget's on there.
Yeah.
We know how much you're making now, so we'll offer you this much at least. Four.
And we got an interesting text today related to children's ministry. From Kate Snyder. She, I'll just read what she sent. She actually sent it to Kaylin, and Kaylin forwarded it to me. Oh. Says, hey, do you have any idea, she's asking Kaylin this question, what the salary and benefits would be for a children's minister's role? She said, I'm very content in my current role, but would like to flirt with the ideal of the children's ministry if it wasn't a significant pay cut for my family. So so that was her initial kind of just inquiry about, hey, I'm interested, but will this be a good fit for us at this time? And so it's going to be difficult to match a salary probably where she's at right now, I'll be honest with you. I don't really know what her salary is, but she's been teaching a while. And
she's in Pattonville?
I don't know where she's at. I don't know where
she used to be when she was in, had the cancer.
Yeah. So she do work with special needs children, which would be...
Yeah, so she was at special originally. Yeah. And then after COVID, she got hired on, I guess, at Pattonville. And then she's been there, I think, now for however many years.
Say, public school teachers in Missouri average over 40 to start.
But she's been teaching a while.
And we could look her up on the...
Yeah, you can look her up, that's true. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I think if we pursue this, Jeff, I would like for you, if you're okay, maybe you and I sit down and talk to her.
Okay. And I have concerns a little bit, so I'll just express them right now.
Go ahead.
So her kids, they don't come longer than worship time. They've been at Bible class maybe one time in the last year or two. I don't think Jeremiah could ever even get them to Bible class. Mm. I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know why they leave so early.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't concern me her abilities.
Mm-hmm.
It concerns me about something. She's willing to teach all the time for Bible, for the first part. She's willing to be a VBS, but there's still something of a, I don't know, glitch in my mind of what's going on, why, what. But it's even, so Jeremiah arranged Bible class, or arranged his meetings around her. So he arranged that they would happen during the very right after worship. Mm-hmm. He kicked everybody out of services so that he could end us out of Bible class.
I really liked that, though. That was good for me, too.
But it wasn't for you.
I know.
It was
for
her. And so this is what sort of concerns me to a point, because that means that, so is she going to be here? And is she going to be willing to put the extra effort in to do the job? Or is it going to be as soon as the time's up, out the door, and but it's just that's the only concern. So
okay. That's legitimate.
Just as, but I like her a lot. And I think that I like her family a lot. So it doesn't mean that I would say not to listen to her, interview her or something, but I would, that's my first concern.
Okay.
Well, and while we're talking about preaching candidates, so, you know, we're going to talk later about possibly even an administrative minister and some of the duties there. And if that comes to pass, it changes things. And, you know, we had, like Michael Santiago said, you know, I can't do what you're asking. But we're now changing what we're asking. Mm-hmm. I think we can go back to the well. And to me, if we have this position, I would not feel bad at all calling Michael Santiago and saying, hey, here's what we've changed. Here's what we expect. Even in Ethan Laster to say, hey, the structure, the job description is different now than when it was before. And so just for candidates, I think if we go forward with this, you know, again, if we still think that those guys have something to give, I'd say I'd like to give them a call again, you know. And again, I like what I see from Jason Mundy, you know, play that out. But again, I think things have changed enough if this happens that, hey, Michael, you know, what we first asked you for is no longer what you're signing up for. And here's the new scope of work kind of a thing. So just something to think about.
Yeah, I think with Michael, it wasn't the administrative stuff. It was the preaching.
Well, I didn't understand. It was just what I heard is he didn't feel comfortable doing what we asked. And when we went through that, most everybody, it was the admin stuff. So he was the preaching. And again, I don't know what we
just
said.
He didn't feel equipped to take on that role.
Right.
And again, so he's going to finish up his MDiv.
Right.
Maybe he'll...
Okay. Better. And I don't know what we communicated, because I thought we discussed that we'd expect at least 50% of the time preaching. And I don't know if we communicated to him 100% of the time. So...
Well, and it's still a role, the right. role of a senior, the lead right. minister type
right.
thing.
Okay.
All right. I got a couple of mundane things I think we can cut through quickly.
Yeah.
Laptop, computer. What?
So for background, it is my opinion that... it's like just like with a company. You know, you don't own the stapler, you don't own the paper clips, you don't own the computer. And we talked about inurement a month and a half ago. And I went and with Jeremy, we did not give him the computer. He could have bought it at street value, which I said was going to be $1,500. But we did let him have his iPad because it was depreciated down to zero. Now, I'm not saying what we should or shouldn't do. I'm just telling you... you know, that laptop of Jeff's is old, but I think it still has value. And my default position is always, we expect it back. But I'm not, that's just me.
I have an opinion mm-hmm. on that. Well, what was the retirement gift we gave him? $30,000?
$30,000 plus $6,000 or whatever it was.
We very much want him to come back and want him to be happy. I'd say whatever the remaining value of that computer is pales in comparison to the potential. Like, and we know he's a guy who likes nice things, and right. like those, they mean a lot to him, you know. Like, so in my opinion would be let him have it, don't even mention it.
I agree. It's different in ministry than it is in a corporation. It becomes a part of who you are, and there's mm-hmm. there's a lot of boundaries that you don't have in ministry that you have in corporations. And you know, he's got a lot of his stuff on there. And I say it's almost a no-brainer. Let him just have it.
Okay.
And with a lot of your reasons, too, I go with that, too.
So I would go maybe a little bit the opposite, only because I had conversations with him about it. He was planning to buy a hard drive and copy the things off of it. So I would have the conversation and possibly, if he wanted to buy it or if he wanted to have it, you're welcome to give it to him. But I would have that conversation if he really wants it or not. Because at this point, because he knows it's old. He knows that even if he pays $500 for it, it's probably not worth $500. Yeah. It's well used. So I think probably more on the other side of it that if we have it, we have it. We can probably find some use for it. We'll have new candidate or new people we hire on. And, hey, you get the trash computer, yay. But the fact is that I think to actually ask him about it and just have the conversation around it, that we can give it to you, you can have it, and but Jeremy's is still, like, it was a brand new computer almost.
Yeah.
It was less than a year old whenever he left. So it's different than Jeff's. It's been pre-COVID, so it's
also a different situation. Jeff's retiring from being
correct
here for 32 years and a little different circumstances.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. So, I mean, I don't have a problem giving it to him, but he may not even want
it. I'm fine giving it to him. It's just a conversation that we need to have. And so correct. As long as we're fine with it, so. Okay.
You guys?
I'm fine, yeah. I think it's all the things that you guys said. I think it's a tool. It's a different tool than the computer I had at BJC. I never even thought about keeping my computer at BJC.
Yeah.
This was more of a ministry tool that I'm sure he's got apps and sermons and things that I think will be beneficial to him. He may not want the computer, but I just think, we just have the discussion with him. Tell him he can have it and he can do with it what he wants.
Okay.
Next, we had some information about this Mauritius merger that I spoke with Jeff Fogarty yesterday just briefly, and he's going over there, and he said they're still working through all this, and he thought when he got back he'd be in a much better position. So my thought is just to kind of let him be our eyes and ears and see what he thinks when he gets back.
So he didn't push you about the Zoom call, because he's, every time I talk to him, he's always like, when are you guys going to have the Zoom call with Kendon? I'm like, we haven't met. We're meeting this week. So, because I think Kendon still wants to have that conversation with us, even if Jeff's going there. So that's something that we probably should be.
So the interesting thing is who is getting this information? Because it's always fourth or fifth hand that we're hearing about it. I mean, are you hearing it from Kendon through Jeff, or is Kendon asked anybody, or?
No, so I know it from Jeff, and so I know some of the history of this situation.
But
so
has he forwarded you an email or anything, or is he?
No, so I don't think he has.
Or how is he expecting us to know?
Zoom, so usually him and Kendon meet together weekly on a Zoom call. And so, and that's what Kendon wants to meet with us and have the conversation with us. We've done it. We've had conversations with him as the missions committee before via Zoom.
But how do you know this, that Kendon wants this?
Because he's the one asking for it. I mean, I know
he
Jeff, is,
but how, but what do you, has he asked you?
The Kendon, that's what I'm trying to get at.
So how do you know that he wants this?
Jeff said he's asked him.
Yeah, Jeff said he.
Jeff Fogarty has said that Kendon has asked him. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the history is, so Fogarty doesn't know the other group very well, so it's not something that Fogarty's pushing. It could be somebody else in his congregation that's pushing this way. So it's all coming from Kendon for sure. So there's no question about that. Historically, there were two congregations there when Bob Grigg showed up. So. Or Bob Grigg started one of the congregations. The other one was already there. It's a conservative congregation that had been there for a while. So this is the other guy's name is slipping my mind now. But so that's the other group. Bob started this newer group that to a point grew okay, 20-ish, 30 members. But then Bob never ended up going there. Mickey County went there. I don't know if anybody from the group from the county had actually showed up or went there with them. But and helped out with Bob and the campaign that they had. Chris Burkholder got involved and married a Mauritian, currently living there, not currently going to either of the two churches.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they go to a South African church for the last probably 3 years. Hmm. So at least there's always been conversations amongst all of the women usually. So it's interesting because Isabel has a really good connection with that other church and the women there. And then Kendon's wife, Stephanie, has good relationship with Isabel, and that the guys don't get along, it seems, or they have differing views. I mean, that's pretty normal. And so there's been a lot of conversation recently about them getting back together and trying to figure out how to do that. Or not really get back together, to get together. So they've they were never one.
Isn't the guy who led the conservative church is retiring? He's 85 or
at
something?
At some point, yeah. So he's getting old. So, and I don't know if that has any connection with it. And they got passed through the daughters to Stephanie or something. But I mean, Kendon struggles a lot with the idea of keeping the church moving and struggles a lot with how to keep moving. I mean, he does well for somebody that hasn't had much training other than CEM and Bob being around a lot back in the day. And so, but it's still a struggle being there with a small church, struggles with your family, and just moving to the next point. And this being two groups together, that they're not that big either, so that, and so it may make a better traction to have a bigger footprint. And I think that that's what he's thinking, and he's hoping that there are things that are problems between this. So the problem, so you have the conservative, not so conservative. He's not as open as we are, I don't think, or as Bob was, let's say, Kendon himself. But the issue is that Kendon's church is Creole language, and their church is French. They have congregants that don't speak French. They only speak Creole. So that's one of my questions around it, and Jeff couldn't answer it. So about what's going to happen when that happens.
How big, roughly, are we talking about?
We're talking probably there'll be 50-ish, I think. And I had asked that question, too, and Jeff wasn't sure.
In each church? Or that's
20, like 20 and 20. So like that 20, 30... I think well, is what
and
it
we
is.
Know with mergers, 1+1 doesn't equal 2.
So generally, theirs is not going to be a problem of, it would be all of them together.
Us saying that too.
No, so it's a bit different because the people that are coming from the other, so there's two different towns that Kendon's group comes from. They're currently paying a taxi to drive them in, but they speak Creole only. They're from a village, so that's the question mark of, they would still pay for them to come. Are they going to have a translator sitting there whispering in their ear?
Mm-hmm. I mean, two services.
We did that. So, I mean, in Hungary, if we had English people, we would either translate one way or the other, and so, or have two services, but then you're not having the 50. So say if they're...
Right, the whole point is getting
together. So if you're trying, the bigger, the better feel, I think, is what they're hoping for, but... So there's lots of questions around it, and I think they want to see how we felt. So that question, that 1+1 doesn't necessarily equal that 2 scenario is what they're wanting. He's wanting to see if it's worth the effort.
I feel like with a smaller island, if people wanted to be at church, they're going to try and get along with it because there's not another, you know.
Is there any tribalism stuff there?
Not... in the church. Right, so they have met. So, and the other thing is they have met together from time to time. Like for bigger events, I think. So because I think Kendon has preached there before and the other guys preached at his church or at his house, I guess, is when they're. So there has been some communal things. So they do have relationships, especially on the women. Like I said, on the women's side, there's definitely relationships. They're all around the same age. So like the guy's daughters and then Isabel and Stephanie are all right around the same age. So I think they all have met together for a Bible study since COVID at least, if not before.
So does Kendon and the other minister, do they get along?
Generally. But if you think about somebody that's Ross's age, and I don't, there's none of you guys that are that old. So he's 85, I think, or something. Yeah. So if you think about, so yeah, you can get along, but, and he's been preaching for 40 plus years, Kendon for 10. And so that whole, it's mine kind of thinking, I think, is probably the another fear factor of the whole situation. That is he
going to,
I don't know. That's that was another question that Jeff couldn't answer. So, because it's a, the situation, if he's looking for somebody to replace him, it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not his plan, if it's to, how big can I get my group before I retire or die or whatever? But I don't know.
And so what do you suggest the next steps from us?
I think probably having that conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
That may probably be the best option, that we just, whoever went through the merger as shepherds, giving him just a bit of understanding, or trying to get his understanding, and then sharing our experiences that we lost 2/3 of the congregation. And
do we have any missions experts? I mean, we're not missions experts that we could get to be consultants with them.
And I wonder about Bob. I wonder if he's had conversations with Bob Grigg about it or not, because I think Bob would be probably a good understanding of the situation there, because he spent so much time there with both of the groups. So he had connections with the other group as well while he was there.
I got the impression when Bob was here, he's pretty anti-churches, church, big churches, more house church type of things. So I don't know if that would affect.
Yeah, that's interesting. That would be very, that's.
Well, my thought, Dave Weiler already said that he's willing to be one of the people that will meet with them. And he has a missions background, working a little bit with some of the churches. And so you also have that financial component, Impact Financial, that can have under the merger. So I think he would be a good candidate. Now, if you're willing, I think Brad would be another good candidate, because he brings a perspective of the other church, right, of the two churches, you know. And so, that would be representation from both sides. You know, I know you got a busy schedule. I don't want to volunteer your time. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just giving my thoughts on what would be a good model. If not, then maybe one other of us can do it. But I think Dave Weiler, you know, can bring some interesting perspective to it in terms of, you know.
I was thinking about the French group. Do they have much contact?
Craig and Katie?
Only when they're there. I don't think that they've had much, unless they, so Craig is very busy with his own things all the time. So if the only contact they have is if they go there, or if it's vice versa, if they're trying to set up a mission group to go to Mauritius.
Yeah.
Those are the two times. And
then Kendon comes over every year for the week of camp.
Correct. Usually him and some of his kids usually try to go over. There are times where he's wrote to Craig and Craig doesn't respond back. So I know some of these things that I'm like, I tell Fogarty, I'm like, that's Craig. Craig is very busy and setting up Bethlehem now. And so it's like, there's no way you're going to get a response. Debbie's like, he never responds back to me. I'm like, that's Craig. He's busy. I have relations at Harding, so I mean, if we needed to get some of the missions people to do that, and I mean, I'm happy to sit there too, but you've got
missions experience too, I think.
But it's a question mark around a lot of the things for me of, because even the other question that I have is he going to continue to be completely supported by us at that point? If you're taking on a different role, and even if, so say the other guy retires, and is that church paying him at that point? He's not completely supported by churches right now. I think Jeff's at 75% or something like that. And he's selling or something, doing something other than that a little bit. But that's another question that gets into the whole picture of how is your support going to handle you being with another group now? Does that change And so yeah, I think we should probably have a conversation with him just to get a better clarity. Mm-hmm. And Dave would be definitely the mission. He's mm-hmm. on our missions committee too, mm-hmm. so he's definitely can mm-hmm. handle it. But.
Okay. So Dave.
All right. Handouts, Brett.
So I passed them around earlier this week. Got a call about the possibility of getting an admin minister, and so I jotted down what in my head would be the org chart. I jotted down my job description. I wrote down the job description that Kreider had and the areas that he sent out that were outside of his.
I think before we do that, let's talk about, we've talked to Steve and what Steve has said. So let's do that first. Steve, you know.
Well, I'm open, I mean, in terms of.
I don't know if Ross and Jeff have
yeah.
even been in on that.
Yeah, so Don and I were talking last week right. and thought about Steve would be pretty good for this role. And so then we talked to the elders and got their opinion, and everybody was positive about it. So then we met with, I was meeting with Steve on Friday, and I surprised him by having Don there.
And so ambush.
We brought that up to him, and it was a bit overwhelming, and he cut the meeting short.
Yeah.
and so then he went home, and so he is put together some stuff, and so he has said, yes, he's interested.
Yeah. I would say before he starts, we should discuss it, though.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't want the elephant right. in the room is Steve.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know who knew what. Yeah. So
yeah. So everybody.
So yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. yeah.
So we're starting the interview right now.
All right. Maybe I should step out.
Right.
And so then you came up with some job description stuff, and then he came up with some stuff from looking at all of the stuff that Jeff had put together.
Right.
So that's kind of where we're at now, and so then. Now we have open discussion.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. In the handout that I gave you, so the first page, and again, everything is draft. It's just my idea of an org chart, how this thing would, okay. everybody would report. And there's dashed lines and solid lines. And again, this is my view of the world. I've got, and again, you know, I would think this position would be 20 hours or less at the office. And I've got the job description, and the job description I wrote was based on what Kreider had prepared specific to non-ministry type work and all of the additional red items that he had out on that other job description. I said, you know, those are things that we've been worried about. Those are going to fall through the cracks. And so I pushed all that on to that job description. And so, you know, those are my thoughts, and I don't know how this aligns with what everybody else is thinking for this. So
are you guys thinking permanent, or are you thinking interim?
Well, I think Brad had a good point that it should be for 6 months initially, and then that gives an opportunity for both sides to, you know, how's it going, and then, you know, re-up for another 6 months, I think, something similar to that.
So similar to the interim that I'm doing, to a point.
Yeah.
I was thinking it's not as temporary as yours. I'm thinking it could be longer. Part of it would depend on what happens when we get a new minister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it could be several years, and we may decide that it's we need a part-time executive minister. So again, I think that's all the discussion here.
Right, and that's why.
I think getting some discussion. What is his opinion about it? Also.
Yeah, but I think that's at the very end. Yeah. Because I think, and again, the tricky part here is,
at the very end of yeah. what?
So we need to decide what it is that we want. What it is that we think that we need from administrative elders as far as job responsibility and hours and things like that. And then the question is, Steve, is this in line with what you're thinking, or how would you tweak this?
I guess I disagree with that. Because he knows our system and knows what he can do, and we have that input, but then formulate it to fit him, the amount of hours he wants to put into it, the role that we're looking for, just and kind of all that, a blend of an influence of all of that together.
I mean, we've been talking about the appeal of an administrative type minister for the last couple of years, right? And so I think there is an ongoing need. I think we had it with Jeff. It was just never addressed.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I think there's an ongoing need, whether it's temporary or long term. I'm like Steve, I don't know that we know that yet as to how much is needed or how long it's needed. I'm kind of feeling that there's always a piece that, if we go back and think about the times we've talked to Jeff about it, the thing that got him down the most and frustrated him the most with the things that we're talking about, you know, somebody else having the focus on and not that minister.
Right. And I feel 100% that way. And what I'm saying is, at 6 months, you re-up. It's like, and then, we're ready to sign on for long term. You know,
I don't disagree with that at all either.
And I'm thinking it should not be, if it's more than 20 hours, something's wrong. And after a year, it should be down to 10 hours or less.
Well, see, now that's where I would question, because I'm not sure we know that. I'm not sure we know that it's going to ever be 8 hours.
It may be more if the congregation is growing and the demand is.
Why is it? You're hiring.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm a little confused on. Why are we putting like a 6 month like timeline on that? If it's my role, I don't mind being evaluated because I should be evaluated. Right. But I'm just curious as to why we're saying okay, 6 months, and then maybe we'll re-up.
Right. It greatly relates to we don't know what ministers we're going to have, and like if we have an experienced minister who is handling that workload well, then he may need less need for that. And if we get a young minister, we might need 20 hours for a longer
time. And I agree 100% with that. Yeah. And I think that's the way it should be kind of stated.
Right.
You know, I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm
saying. Just to say hard and fast, it's got to be 8 to 10 hours at some point. I don't think we can say that.
Well, in my head, again, this is in my head, Jeff Kreider split up his time. And he said, you know, I'm a senior minister, and I do all these things. I wear all these hats. So he's said, you know, of my time, at least a day a week is administrative. The other 4 days, you know, he's doing ministry, he's preaching and stuff like that. So if we hired for Jeff, that person would still be required to do at least 8 hours a week of administrative. So that's the slot we're trying to cut out. Now, initially, that's probably going to be 2-3 days, right? So, you know, Jeff knew what he was doing. He was doing it for a while. So he was 1 day a week it took him to do this. So I'm thinking it should be maybe 2-3 days most, I'm thinking. And then, you know, the better you get at it, the learning curve, it should be shorter. The other is, the big thing that this person is responsible for or is saying no. So if you have, there's a lot of things that people want to do. There's a lot of ministries that want to happen. There's a lot of things that Elizabeth would want to get done. Elizabeth could keep you busy 60 hours a week. So the main thing that this administrative person is to do is to say, no, we're not doing that. We need to, what is it that we're going to focus on? We need to spend our time in these areas. And it just seems, again, looking at what Jeff did and his hours of work, double it, triple it, and that's what we should hire for. And again, because you don't want to, you could have somebody in here working 40, 50 hours a week just trying to do what Elizabeth wants him to do. But I would say that's a big fail.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying that.
Right, and I know you're not. I'm just saying that, if Jeff were here, you know, 1 day a week he'd be doing this. And so I'm just thinking, okay, 2 days a week.
Yeah, and I think the thing that you're looking at it as you're thinking the administrative things come from Elizabeth. But in reality, to a point, that's the way it sounds.
No, I'm just saying she can fill you up. She could eat up every minute of your time.
That's true. But but in reality, most of the things that Jeff did that were administrative were things that he came up with.
Right.
And that's what this whole list is almost that are there are things that he decided that over the time from mid-county time all the way to the current day that he started dropping in little piece at a time. So it made it where it was bearable. So if you think about how much can you put on a wagon, and we, Steve, guess what? You get to be the wagon, and we're just going to start putting straws right on there, and we're going to see how many. And that's what happened to Jeff. Mm-hmm. And you can bear it, so you can keep bearing it. But that's the thing that if we drop it all on Steve, let's say day one, there's no way he can bear it because he's going to look at it and he's like, oh my goodness, this is just insane. But if you say 6 months down the road, he's like, sure, I can do that. I'm only using up 18 hours to do this. I have two more extra hours. But it's one of the things that we can't overload Steve with everything that was Jeff's. And we can't overload the new person with everything that was Jeff's because generally even a well-seasoned minister isn't able to come into the new place. Just like if you start any other new job, it's really hard to just come in and start off running.
Right. And I agree, and that's why I think 20 hours is plenty, because he'll be doing even less administrative than Jeff.
Yeah, but as time goes by, I would think that it would be the exact opposite almost, where if Steve feels that he needs to do more, he can do more, or anybody, whoever takes the executive role, we don't want to overload them and say,
right.
Here's your things. You have to do all this today. Mm-hmm. And because you know everybody, guess what? You don't get any slack.
Right.
And there's no real evaluating, I think. I think it's, I mean, you guys may evaluate me all the time and I don't pay attention to it. But it's just, but it's one of those things that in reality, I think that it's good for me to have these time frames, not as evaluation time points, but as, is this really where I want to be at? Mm-hmm. And is it really helping to a point? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I think my job is, I don't even deserve to be paid for it. Mm-hmm. And other times it's like, oh, I deserve to be paid double. PBS week. But and that's the same thing for you, that I think that as you get through that first 6 months, it's not that you're evaluating, but it's you're looking at yourself and saying, is this really what I'm way overburdened. Mm-hmm. My life outside of this is too much. Let's just cut back to 10 hours. I can do 10 hours, but I can't do all of the work. I'm going to focus on these. The new guy comes in and you're like, I'm going to share this with him. He can have some of that. And maybe the 6 month could be too long or it could be too short, just depending on how the hiring stage goes. So you get a person in and after the first month, you're like, this guy's running with half of my things. Mm. Let's have a conversation about it.
No, I agree with that too. I think after whatever timeline is, 6 months later, if the new minister come in, and he's well equipped to do some of these things that maybe the administrative elder is doing, or administrative minister is doing, he can definitely offload some of that to the new guy if he's equipped, right? And if he needs to get up to speed on some stuff, you know, he's not equipped to do that day one, well then the executive minister could continue to do those things until the guy is ready to do them. I think that's the way I see this is, you know, kind of evolving, you know, and so, and then, you know, evaluate based on those kind of things, right? Yeah, evaluate whether or not the executive minister is doing what he needs to be doing. Obviously doing that, but also evaluate, see how ready is the new minister to do some of these things, and should we continue to let the executive minister do those chores?
So is this an executive minister or an admin minister?
It's a term. I like executive minister because we have admin elders. It just keeps the confusion
down.
So
in my head, and again, I don't have a lot of background in this, the way I've seen it, an executive minister is the senior minister. All ministers report up to him, which my org chart would not work for. The way I've seen an executive minister, it would be all the ministers funnel up through him, where mm-hmm. I
had this as an admin administrator because that's the slot he's in. That's his lane, that he's doing administrative. And so that's one of my questions is, and again, I don't want to get hung up on terminology.
Whatever you call it, I think you've got him in the right place.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Okay, yeah. Then that's fine.
I think it does matter what name we call it, because when we're hiring prospective ministers, if we tell them, oh, there's an executive minister and he's not a preacher, then it's going to be confusing to them.
So I didn't want to get hung up on that. But
we need to look at the terms, because I think I agree with Steve that traditionally they've been used identically, the two terms, executive and admin. It's executive on the idea of making things being executed.
Right. Well, as long as this is fine, then we're
The executive minister as the top of everything.
Okay. So as long as that's fine, then that's good. Okay.
And I think, again, going back to even before when we first started talking about this, I don't think we fully know even now, but I think then we felt like this was something that would help with efficiency. Yep. That we were not being efficient, and that, you know, and I think since Elizabeth came on, I mean, for all her faults about trying to do everything all the time, she has identified some things that I think historically fall through the cracks, you know. So I think on an ongoing basis, having somebody that could sit down and say no to the things that we need to say no to, but also say, look, we've neglected this for years, you know, we need to spend more time with it. So I don't think there's any way that we can sit here right now and say it's going to take 8 hours or 20 hours or whatever. I think we can say it's part-time. It'll be, let's start off at 20, 24 hours a week, and then get a report back after X number of months to say, okay, what do you think, you know? And what are the things that we need to offload? What are the things that are working well, you know, under this type of model? You know, I just don't think there's a formula that says at such and such point. I personally just can't see it ever being anything like 8 or 10 hours. I think we've missed out on an opportunity for years to have a better, more efficient operation to have something like this. And we're fortunate to be able to do it with a part-time resource rather than a full-time resource.
And a part-time that knows our system very well and loves the system. Loves the church, maybe not the system.
But so I think we need to train ourselves to be flexible. Yes. You know, instead of setting up too many pillars that we think are, you know, non-movable, and just say, let's just get into this and see what it's like. We can sit down and talk about it, and particularly with Steve or whoever, you know, just to say, okay, what do we know? What are we learning? And what needs to change, you know? So,
And I think Steve knows the system and the needs in the system to be able to formulate the big role in helping to formulate that job description.
Just for what it's worth, the last couple of weeks I've met with Kaylin, you know, just on the worship.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the last time I sat down with her, I think the you know, she's not a complainer, but I think a little bit of frustration came out just with, she says, you know, since Jeff's been gone, I haven't had that person, you know, to go to with a question. She says, you know, I love Nathan, but Nathan's not going to have the answers I'm looking for. I love, Elizabeth's not going to have, you know, so I think even if a new minister was here, she'd probably still have sort of that same frustration of just not having that person that knows the system or that is familiar with
it. Well, I agree fully. And again, if Jeff were here, I think we would still benefit by this position. And you know, I think that was one of the things Earnhardt was helping with and really, you know, was a big setback. But again, if Jeff were here and if we had somebody here working 30 hours a day doing admin, you know, I'd scratch my head, you know. So I'm not saying we have to set what the hours are, but I think in your head, what seems reasonable, you know.
Well, in my head, I think reasonable would be more at the beginning, just because there's going to have to be some.
Right. Right, that's why I'm saying that, yeah, 20 hours, you know, right around there sounds good. And so I'm just trying to.
And I would just say, in a different format, I would say, consider yourself part-time, don't work over 39 hours. Because that's what happened to me. So, I mean, I came in and I had VBS, which means I couldn't put more than, I couldn't put 40 on there because if I did, it bumped me to full-time status, which then causes issues for taxes. So, for the church's situation. So, in, but I worked, you don't hear this, I worked over 40 hours. I worked over 60 hours, probably that first, the 2 weeks of VBS, each of them. But I just had to put them out however many weeks out because I couldn't put more than 39. And you're not going to work 39. I mean, you don't have VBS coming up.
Nope.
But we're not going to give that to you. But you would just say you're part-time. You try to log less than 40 hours every week. And you try to minimize, like as you start, you may start with 30 hours, let's say. And you may start creeping back down once you sort of get used to it. And sort of leaving that on his, I mean, his responsibility to not work more than 40 hours. And then as he figures out really how much he needs, then he lets us know. Because it could be, he's like, I really only need 10 hours.
Yeah.
But it may be when we hire that new minister that it's 10 hours at that point. But up until that point, it may be 20 or more.
Yeah, so I see this job is working a lot of off hours too.
Yes.
You know, so 20 hours, would say, maybe 8 hours, 3 8-hour days or two. But it's really like maybe 2.5 days. And so I don't know. I mean, because I envision this job, there would be some evenings where I'm working with ministry leaders that can't meet with me during the day. And so, and then, you know, then I don't know what Sunday mornings are like, right? What would be required for the job to do on Sunday mornings. So what kind of things need to happen on Sunday mornings? And then if I got 2.5 days in the office, so it's going to be kind of hard to do that in, I guess, 8 to 10 hours is what I'm saying.
One thing I'll say about Sunday mornings, this is the agreement that the staff has that are part-time. They don't count Sunday morning as office hours or as work hours. Anytime I count anytime before I get here and anytime after noon as anytime I work. Actual church is considered church. So just to give you that picture, so depending on how much extra time, so I get here at 8, so I 8 to 9:30 is my clock, and then I pluck anything after 12.
Yeah.
But so just that's something that Caitlin and I've worked out together.
That makes sense.
Because we come to church anyway.
You're going to be here worshiping anyway.
And we would still be participating anyway. Yes. So, but that's just the, so as you think through that, you may not have so much Sunday time unless you meet with people. Well, before and after.
Who opens the building up and get the building ready on Sunday mornings?
Yes.
That's your job description.
That's your job description.
That's exactly. With the new Department of Labor.
Nathan and I are here usually first. Then Caitlin comes in pretty soon after.
Yeah, with the new Department of Labor guidelines, no telling. Are you familiar with the new ones yet?
Not yet. It kicks in next year. But
anything
over 55,000, you can't.
I think it's 58,000.
58, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not a labor employment lawyer, but
but it's
going to mess up.
There's going to be a lot of churches
that
aren't going to be familiar with it, although we will be because Dave Weiler's on top of it all.
And Elizabeth.
So Steve, what were you thinking for office hours then?
I don't know. I mean, but I see the job as being more than just office hours.
Right, but a limited, I would say you'd have to spend certain time in the office.
Yeah, I would think the majority of the job would be in the office. The majority of it would be in the office. But some of the things that may happen in a given day in the office may require me to do something at evening as well.
Right.
You know, something unforeseen come up. And so I don't know. But the days, most of the times, will be in the office for sure.
And I feel very confident that you're not looking for a job to put in a whole lot of hours because you are retired.
I don't. I mean, 25 hours a week. The other thing is that I have a little part-time job.
Yeah.
And I was actually looking for a few more hours with a company that I was going to interview with today, but I decided not to interview with them because I wanted to kind of dig into this more, right? And so what I'm doing now is about 8 hours a week, right? And I'm working with four young men that are trying to live independent with limited skills. And to be quite honest, I probably shouldn't just cut them right or loose. That would be unfair to them. And so I probably need to figure out how to gradually move away from that. Right. You know, doing it abruptly would be hard. But those that's flexible. I can do that pretty much whenever. I'm not locked into a certain day to do those things. But so with that in mind, 25 hours a week plus those other eight is enough.
Yeah.
Is enough.
I would think almost in your mind, just head towards 20,
mm-hmm.
and not try not to go over that. And if you have some weeks you don't do 20, that's fine too. And then you're retired and you'll be taking some trips.
Your 20 would be a sweet spot in this job.
Steve, how do you feel about being an employee of the church? I've always felt that, you know, if you're going to do that, then you can't be an elder at the same time. I think there's a certain...
I think the need for the admin minister is probably so great now that if it requires me to step aside from the eldership for a little while, that's fine. You know, I'm open to doing that.
But I would like to challenge that. Just because, again, I think we have made the elder, to me, more of an office than it is a position of service to the church. And I just feel like whatever it is that we're concerned about, conflict of interest or whatever it is, I don't know, we can get around that. We, you know, Steve doesn't weigh in on the budgets, or he doesn't weigh in on hiring and firing of people or whatever. And the thing I worry about most is telling the congregation that Steve's going to step down as an elder.
To take the executive role. The admin role.
When everything about Steve and Gwen is eldering, it's shepherding. That's the important stuff. So I have absolutely no problem with him being a paid employee. We're not paying him to be an elder. We're paying him to be an administrator in the office, you know. And it's like we encourage every member to be an elder, to be a shepherd, to be where they can. And so I just think it would send an extremely wrong message to tell the church he's stepping down as an elder. And when, you know, he's a very gifted elder and has been for years.
Amen.
So
I agree strongly with that too. And just it's that any conflict of interest we can work through. There's no legal issues, right? I know there's several churches that have their preacher who's an elder. So I don't think there's any legal issues with that. And if, again, like I said, if there's any conflict of interest, we can work with that.
Yeah, my thought, if he's the admin, like if it's drawn here, I'm fine with it. If it were an executive minister, I would feel uneasy about it. But the way this is, I am fine. I know Dave Weiler said he was uncomfortable with it, but it wasn't a showstopper for him. So he told me to relay that. But I said if it's an admin elder, not an executive minister. I'm admin minister, not an executive minister. That makes sense, fine for me. Because again, he's just funneling through administrative stuff, you know. So.
The passage. I mean, scripture is very clear. So probably can have conversations about it, but it's very clear that if somebody is sort of working for the church, they should be paid. So whether it's Paul in this article, mentions two of them, and it says, you should not muzzle the ox, the worker deserves his wage. And it's generally, part one of them is talking about an actual elder that is working for the church. So that Paul's talking about, so it's in that same section of passages. And so then, I don't have, and for me, thinking, I mean, I'm sort of paid, so you see the thing here, but in reality, the fact is that I think that Scripture doesn't say that it's a bad thing to receive money as being a minister, and it doesn't disqualify you as if you're the elder and you're doing this, the hard work too, because you're still doing the work. So, I mean, we all have jobs. We all are, some of you guys have jobs, retired, but that's different. So it's still the same thing. If you'd say, well, you're an elder now, so Don, you can't work it. You can work at BJC, you just can't take cash for it. you need to help people wherever you're at. It's the same kind of thinking, and it's a job that needs to be done. It's generally all admin, and so I think that there's no concern, at least in my book. And I mean, I'm ministering, and I sort of sit here with you guys too as a wannabe.
Yeah. Although with the understanding you even said you don't want to step into the actual elder role until you're done being a minister.
If that, who knows?
Again, you know, some of the legal conflicts that, you know, Steve was asking Brad about is, so if they're president of the company, the board sets your compensation. But if you're also, the president is also on the board, then, you know, that's where, you know, that's a little, gets interesting. And so, you know, when possible, you want to avoid that. But we are not that type of a situation. So we have a different trust level, so.
I had expressed that, you know, I would hope that we could do some elder-led leadership in this time frame. And I really feel that, you know, I don't think we muzzle the ox at all around here in terms of being fair to people. But I remember Paul also saying to the people in Ephesus that, you know, yeah, I didn't take any money from you while I was there for 3 years, you know, making tents. And that's the view that I try to uphold, that we are a priesthood of all believers, and that all these little things of different names and all that, you know, what type of elder you are, you know, we're all elders. But when it comes to actually coming down to, you know, who gets to vote on things, that is a problem for me. I brought it up before and other people go, that's not a big deal. But, you know, the idea of like hiring your family members, you know, I think that's a problem. It adds people's suspicion that, you know, you've got this power and you're, you know, hiring family members. I think we should have a policy. But, you know, I wouldn't want to kick Mel off of CFS for, you know, because Don's an elder either. But, you know, in a big picture, I think that's a better way to make sure that you don't step over the line and do things. What I'm thinking, you know, it'd be hard for you to give up, I think, the relationship of being an elder for a time, maybe not, I don't know. I've never been on a sabbatical, I don't know what it's like, but to me, I think when you say I'm gonna be an employee of the church, that it takes on a different picture, and I think it would be much better to say to the church, yeah, you're gonna step away from this role as an elder while you're a paid employee of the church. And then my hope was, you know, this would be a shorter term type thing, that, you know, you'd be coming back in, you know, hopefully, you know, we haven't run you off from doing all the junk that we're talking about. I've just wondered how you felt.
I would be okay with that. I mean, whatever you guys are comfortable with, either way, work for me, but because I see this as something that we need to have done, and if it, you know, if I need to step away from the eldership to get it done, that's fine. But that really wouldn't stop me from doing those elder responsibilities, you know, that I'm currently doing. I would still do those, but so I think, as I've been praying about this, I think this for me right now is a greater calling, you know. So if it's one or the other, you know, I feel like this is where I need to step into this, right? So if you are okay with doing both, I'm fine with that too. So So that's where I land at it. You know, it's whatever you all are comfortable with at the end of the day, that works for me.
Yeah, I don't know how to split the baby. You're a good man. We are in the middle of hiring people, and it's important for you to stay engaged with that. And that, you know, your eldership role in that is just as important as your eldership role in this, to my mind. And I think, you know, again, given the structure we've got, I'm fine with this, but I think, you know, we make it clear to the congregation, you know, if we hire him, you know, if anybody's got any reservations, you know, contact us, let us know. But I would, you know, I don't know how the rest of you guys feel. I think some people have voiced that they're fine with Steve staying on. And I guess that's the way I would vote. And you know, maybe we can hear back from Dave Waller. When he talked to me the other day, he just said it's not a showstopper for him, but his preference was that it makes him a little uneasy. But again, I don't know if he was thinking an executive minister or an admin minister. But you know, I just think we're just above board with the congregation.
And I think actually I have more concerns about ramifications from the congregation if we
ask him to step down.
Step down. You know, but there, yeah. I mean, besides the fact that I'm sure the largest part of the congregation loves him as an elder, you know, and to say, why would we make him step down from being an elder to just take on this administrative role? I think that would do more harm than any challenge we'll have with him seated as an elder and making decisions, you know.
And again, I think this is something we just put in the minutes, and, you know, in 6 months from now when we revisit this, hey, is this working? You know, do we see it differently now? Is it getting in the way? Is Steve making decisions he should make or not making decisions he should make because of the way he's positioned in the congregation? So maybe in 6 months we just revisit it and just say, you know, we're for it now.
I know I don't really get a vote, but I'll just say that I see it kind of as a risk reward, and the reward being there's a lot that Steve has to offer, and to try and mitigate risk, we give up on a lot that Steve has to offer. Doesn't seem like the right choice to me. I would rather take that risk that maybe we have a problem, we have to change it after a certain amount of time, you know. But I'd rather have him utilized as much as he's willing.
We won't pay him for the elders' meetings.
And I look at the role of the minister search as something that's separate from this.
So that's what I wonder about.
It's separate from this, but it's up here.
But the, on the other hand, if I was in this role,
right,
I would probably be on the minister search and probably be compensated for it. But I look at that as two different pieces. I would not count that as administrative responsibility. I count that as elder responsibility, and so I wouldn't be expect to be compensated for doing that. Right. So, that would be how I will look at something like that when you have those kind of conflicts, is that, you know, and if there are conflicts, I will even come to you guys and say, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's the highest risk, is that we're taking advantage of you.
I think this is all kingdom business, and, you know.
And that's the way I take my role most of the time. Yeah. It's like, I don't count this as ours. I don't count me sitting here chatting with Brad, sort of as children's minister and whatever else. Right. I mean, it's. You use it the way you use it.
One other risk is, so as shepherds, we love the sheep. One of the things that an admin minister needs to do is poke the sheep. you may have to stir things up a little bit, you know, sometimes, you know, that it's hard to wear, you know, be the good shepherd and also say, listen, this isn't what we hired you to do. You need to do this or that. And you know, I appreciate your your diligence working on X, but we need your time on Y, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. There can be conflict there if you're not ready to.
Yeah.
Well, and I can also see him coming to us and saying, this is what I think needs to happen, and then we can.
Yeah.
Right. Be his boss. I see that, that too. Yeah. I see that. That's exactly how I see
good.
It.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see it.
But that kind of, that's what I was trying to say, that, you know, maybe we, you know, put Jeff in the position, fire him from, put him into the elder role, and, you know, we'll save money and, you know, no, I'm good. It gets tricky when you start blending that kind of stuff. It's hard to explain, but it, to me, you know, an elder is a calling, and it's not something that we do for pay. And I feel strongly about that. I feel strongly about the way the treasury works, that, you know, once you give it to the church, it's not yours anymore. Mm-hmm. And we run into those issues all the time with people saying, well, I'll make this, you know,
earmarking,
and you know, that gets you in trouble even with the IRS. So you have to be careful.
Mormons got around it, though. There is a loophole, but so I read up on that one.
Yeah. So I just think that anytime if we're hiring somebody as to work for the church and we're going to pay them, they need to be a staff level. And you know, it just, I think there'll be people who question, like, oh, these guys are getting really clubby with each other and we're hiring one another. And, you know, I can hear that, you know, already.
I feel like there's a little more trust now than it used to be.
I think we're better off than we were, you know, 5 years ago for sure. But still, I think the high road is to do, you know, let the elders be in charge of the church, and the staff reports to the elders. That's what I feel in my heart works the best.
Yeah.
What was Jeff like? He's never been an elder, right?
He was
an elder while being minister.
No.
Okay.
He was never an elder.
Right. So
he was mid-county. He was an elder,
and then he resigned as an elder, and then I don't know what the time frame was that, and he ended up
right around the preaching. Same time, the part time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Minister and then
Fulton. But just as like the lead minister, he was just always at the elders' meetings. But
right. And I also think that, you know, again, we can revisit this in 6 months and see how we're feeling, but we are in somewhat of a triage situation that, you know, I think we have to address this in some way. And you know, right now we've got an excellent candidate if he's willing. And, you know, I just think that it would be a very helpful position to have filled at this time. And then, you know, in 6 months we can see, you know, how we feel about it. But that's, you know, kind of what I'm thinking. You know, because if we wait 6 months or hire somebody and then, you know, I just think it's a missed opportunity that there's a ton of stuff that, you know, Steve can dig into and start working on now.
I'd really like to hear what Dave thinks about it. Like, I mean, you mentioned what he said, but more specifically, because it seems like he'd be more in Brad's camp about.
Yeah, we talked with him about it at the elders' prayer time. Mm-hmm. He told us his what he felt, and then, you know, we kind of mentioned to him that, you know, we felt like it was not a problem. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't, anytime we had a conflict of interest, we could deal with that. And although we've really, I don't recall hardly ever voting on anything. And then even when the budgets come, it's not an elders thing, it's the admin elders that decide that.
No, it's whoever, we do it by voting, and you know, everybody's got one vote.
Have we ever done that?
One since me and Ross have been here.
Yeah.
Me and Ross had to leave or couldn't say something. Yeah.
Well,
so all that said, it's a rarity, and when it happens, we just
we get consensus.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, it is not a unilateral decision, that it is brought before the full eldership for review. Now, there's not a formal vote, but mm-hmm. before it's stamped, they've always brought it before the full eldership.
Mm-hmm. So all that said, I really believe we can work with it. And prevent any conflicts of interest. I think we can be transparent with the church, and I think they would be fine with it too.
And so, you know, if there's a lot of pushback from the church, we can course correct. I can step aside, and you know, because we don't want that. We definitely don't want that. Yeah. And so if there seemed to be a, you know.
I wouldn't leave it as an opening there to the church saying, hey, give us all the bad stuff about Steve or
what you don't want to pile up.
Just sort of being very positive. We've decided to do this. This is what we're doing because we have a big gap from Jeff and we have to keep moving and we don't have time for waiting for somebody to get through the hiring process. And Steve's willing to take it and run with it. He's retired and has 20 hours that he wants to give, 25 hours.
Done, and then you go forward. Is
that the consensus? Yes.
There's only four people that can actually vote here because Steve's sort of a conflict of interest now.
I say move forward. And I don't know what move forward is. I think we still need to hear from Steve on what he's willing to accept as far as a job responsibilities. And I mean, I laid out some things, but I don't know what you
had. Yeah, I had a couple. I had some thoughts. It seemed probably pretty similar to what you wrote down. It's probably not quite as detailed. It's more high level than what you identified.
Take one and pass, or is
this
a whole
one? Just one and pass. Just one and pass.
Did you?
I have one. So there were maybe six or seven areas, and I think you looked at your document. It seemed to cover a lot of these areas, and there may be the one thing that you, a couple things you didn't have in there. I don't know if you had anything with funerals and weddings in there at all.
I didn't. What did I have?
I think that something that we want to figure out how to cover that when those things come up. Have some a point person on those too.
Well, what are you thinking about that? Are you just talking about getting the building ready or facilitating the service?
Not facilitating the service. Not unless it's someone that asked me to facilitate the service.
I am on with you.
You know,
yeah,
no,
I agree.
Because it says provide available support as needed.
Yeah.
So that would be making sure that somebody's there if needed, arranging that person.
So we'll sit. I may sit down and talk with the family, and they can tell me what they need, and we can figure out what we can do to help there. That would be the, you know, how I see that unfolding. And the other thing, it's kind of the very bottom where it says miscellaneous. I wasn't sure what happens on Sunday mornings, quite sure what, you know, in terms of the building preparation, needed to get a clear understanding of what happens then. And then is there any responsibility on Wednesday evenings? I didn't think there would be. But
Jeff had all that for Sunday mornings. He had a ton for Sunday mornings, but I don't see anything for Wednesdays. I'd probably be similar.
Yeah, Wednesdays are Nathan and I handle that. Okay. And me as a small group leader, not as the children's minister. And then on Sundays, it's just generally me, Kaylin, and Nathan that make sure things are open and get our things ready because we're the ones running everything. So either the youth group or the children's group or the worship, and so those three. So Jeff did come early usually, but his role was not necessarily to do anything officially. He did stuff, but that was Jeff. And those things on his list are things that Jeff saw as he walked around, not officially doing anything.
But he was here.
There's
to be
bugs
sure.
everywhere.
He's here to be sure that he was ready.
Yes. Yeah, and to be with you guys, like in the prayer room, he was always there, at least part of it.
And he'd kind of walk around, make sure there were not any bugs on the carpet and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what he said here on 7.
Quite a bit of that this summer.
Quite frankly, the thing that gives me the most angst in the beginning is the building.
The bugs.
It's because when people walk in, Jeff did a real excellent job of making sure the building was presented when people walk in. He had an eye for those things. Because that's the thing that people are going to evaluate, you know, right off the bat. And so the building gives me a little bit of angst in terms of all those little things that needs to be done. So
We can talk about that. It's not as – so I've been around Jeff a lot. Okay. So
that would be great.
So we can
– I remember walking into a church and their bathroom was atrocious.
Yes.
And the first thought I had just reflexively came – was how much do they care about
the church? Yes, yes, yes.
It does matter.
Let me just say, whoever maintains this church, the building, and I know – you're a part of it, and you're a part of it, and so many others. This place is in good shape. Mm-hmm. It's really, it's done well.
Yeah.
I appreciate what people have done.
I've never had that thought here. I was like, oh man, do they even care? Yeah. Like, no.
That's because there's a lot of thoughtfulness that's going into making sure that's done, and Jeff was a part of that. So don't want that to be an issue. So that's really, because for visitors, for members, all those things are really critical that the building is in tip-top shape. I think the other thing that may not be on here is a community outreach component.
I didn't know if that was a more of a minister, if that was more on this lot of things, that I didn't want to put that on an administrative role. That didn't seem administrative to me.
Well, if you look at I looked at some job descriptions, and that is one of the components, and it's one of those things that we're not doing. Just to have some attention to it, it won't be like the majority of it, but just have a little attention to it, I think, is
but
really
that
important.
Seems ministry. That doesn't seem...
I'm an elder and a minister.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm both. I mean...
right.
It could be things like Rock Hill Ministries, you know, and the thing, there have been occasions where we've communicated with them about our pantry or just joint efforts. Maybe even like Larsh.
Larsh.
You know, things like that come up, and there has to be a decision made about you want to use the building or you want to
just be the point man.
More related to facilities then, or how they do that,
and relationship building. You want to do both. I think you want to do both with the
Election thing,
blood draws, and then the relationship with Given School. When the ministers go down there to interact with them, I want to be a part of that just to see what's going on there. And I think those are the kind of things I'm talking about. Yeah.
Under ministries, I like what you have here, but I'm reminded back to what Dale Robinson said is. Churches do a lot of things, but most churches do too many things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think part of this role is not to facilitate all of our current ministries, but to look at those and figure out which ones align with our goals. And kind of like what Dale Robinson and said, we have fewer and fewer resources. How are we going to utilize
those? That's why the first
bullet
point, I think I tried to get to it a little bit, kind of understand the history and what the current mission is, and so see if it aligns with where we're going. And so I agree with you on that. I agree with you. And just like with the food pantry, we're allocating additional resources to the food pantry when we separate those responsibilities. And so that's going to be an opportunity lost for those volunteers to do something else, right? And so I just want to make sure those decisions are the ones that we are aware of that we're making. Okay, this is a great thing to do, but it's an opportunity loss for something else. And so are we okay with that opportunity loss, whatever it happens to be? So I think understanding the ministries and how they see themselves in their mission is to make sure it's aligned is part of the role. And then during transition period, when someone gets to the point where they near burnout, they have to transition out of that role, help them with that, and plus, maybe new people to come in and fulfill that role if we want to maintain that ministry. And so that's...
And again, it's more like a point person and I think it will accomplish what you're talking about. If somebody wants to start a ministry, they're going to have to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Make that somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make the decision to you know, bring that forward? Is that something that makes sense?
I think that's great.
Yes, absolutely.
Shut it down.
Absolutely. And so that's how I see my role when something like that comes up. Mm-hmm. And when we have someone transitioning out, they're burned out, then you guys need to know about that so we can begin to think about, okay, who is a good person to fulfill that? Or do we want to let this ministry die out, right? So those are the kind of decisions I can bring to you guys, and we can kind of figure out, hey, what we do with that, you know? And so that's how I see my roles with ministry, working with Kaylin a lot, I think, would be a part of the role. Understanding.
Which, by the way, we've got to keep that woman happy.
Oh,
boy. Yeah. She's great.
We've got to find Travis a teaching job.
Yeah,
she's great.
She is, man. She's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Just supporting her as much as possible, I think, is real important. And then that helps so you guys know, hey, here's the order of worship. Here's what's going on. You know, so if Kaylin and I have that kind of relationship, you guys won't be surprised on Sundays what's happening. You know, and I see my role as also for the shepherd's prayer, making sure you have the proper documentation so that you can, you know what things are important to say during the shepherd's prayer. So that is related to Kaylin in some ways, so I can understand what she knew about, you know, the worship service. And so just having that connection, I think, is important. By the way, Dave did a great job yesterday, guys. I really, really love the way he had the scriptures read, you know, each person on the praising reading the scriptures was beautiful.
That was Kaylin, by the way.
Dave just gave her this verse. Yeah,
did a great job. Did a great job. So then calendar, just understand, okay, what are all the activities that we have on the calendar? Mm-hmm. When are those going to happen? What kind of resources those activities are going to need? You know, what does need to happen in the building? You know, who needs to know where the communication happens? Who needs to know what about those?
I can show you where all the thermostats are.
Now. I don't want to know that.
Don, do you
learn?
So,
I learned Friday. I told her it would take me about 2 or 3 weeks. I'll get it.
So, you know, now the staff area, this is more of an executive minister's role. So I don't know what you guys want me to do in that role, but the executive minister actually do evaluations. And I'm not sure, you know, if that's something you want me to do that in terms of.
Yeah, that's where the dash lines come in.
Okay.
Because I do think that. Yeah, you need. That's why I put those dashed lines there. That I think that would be, it's needed, and it would be helpful if we had somebody to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in your role there, you will have more information about performance that either you can pass to us to do evaluations, or we figure out the way to do that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think your input in that is going to be very important.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
And spy them on the ministry staff.
Do we know actually when evaluations are due?
See, that's the
like
thing.
For Nathan. So I mean, like Nathan and Kaylin. I mean, she's not been. She's getting close to the year.
Jeff
too.
Will know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was done.
I talked with Nathan last Thursday, and I told him I'll do his evaluation. It made sense.
Okay.
I think. The admin minister still needs to be the focal point. So just make sure
not this year. This year.
Since
right. But I would say even this year that
he should be in the room.
You do it, but you give him the copy, let him know everything, and you.
Yeah. We can be in all it actually together.
Yeah, as long as you get forward everything to him,
So that's, you know, there's probably going to be many other things that is unforeseen that's going to come up, but. You know, we can address those as they come up, but, you know, this is just kind of a quick snapshot of how I see the job. I think you provide a lot more detail in your job description.
Yeah, I think the bullet points are all there. There's just Jeff had a bit more detail on some of his, but I think capture most of it. So what I had is just what Kreider provided to us, and I just cut it out and what looked admin-ish to me.
Yeah. See, I just actually didn't separate the next steps of ministry out. That's considered under ministries.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to continue to lead that, but someone needs to lead that. It's a very important ministry. And yeah. So.
But I do think we need somebody looking around. Okay, who are the visitors? Has anybody tapped them on the shoulders? Anybody told them about the classes and all that kind of stuff?
We do. Okay. We do need somebody. And I depend on all of you guys for that too, because okay. it's hard to get to everybody in the day. You miss people. I think yeah. we all miss people. So collectively, we tend to be fairly comprehensive in terms of making sure we cover folks. So that's just a quick snapshot. I do like what you got here, the more detailed stuff. That's helpful.
Should we time box all these? See if we can yeah. get it in 25 hours.
Yeah, that's going to be challenging. Yeah. But there's probably going to be weeks where I'm going to do 30, but only claim 25, like what you do, you know. So, especially in the beginning. But all right.
Let me suggest that let Steve digest and.
It's a lot.
Figure this out, because you may wake up tomorrow morning and have, what did I say? give you some slack to, you tell us if and when you're ready.
I'm ready. I mean, I've thought about it and I've been praying about it. So if you guys are comfortable with it, I'm ready. If we want to do something else, I'm ready for that too. So if you all need more time, fine. I don't need any more time.
Could we start October 1st?
Probably not. I'll be out of town.
Yeah, or a little
bit. That'd be perfect. Yeah. Start off on vacation.
Find your replacement. You know.
I can start maybe the second week in October. I probably will not be doing the food pantry anymore. I don't see how I can do both jobs. Yeah. And so. Yeah.
Has anybody volunteered to help with Barb to get work?
Yeah. So I got some information. I'm going to share with you guys about that, too.
And when you're at the office, where will you be?
I don't know.
Will you share with I'm just trying to think. You'd want to share an office, but I'm just trying to think who you'd share with.
No, he could just have. We have two open offices currently.
Yeah. We have two?
Yeah. So he could either take Jeff's office or he could take.
I figured Jeff's, we would say,
for the minute. For the
whoever. There's Jeremy's old office, where Izzy was at.
Okay, that's clean? Right. Okay. So you can just take Jeremy's.
He can't start today. Yeah. There's a broken ping pong table in there.
Okay.
And then there's all Jeremy's things, and I can pull those out. They're mostly
stuff right.
things.
So we do have Jeremy's.
Okay. But there's not a lot, so it would take me an hour.
I can do that.
No. They're my things that I just haven't put away.
Now we know.
Sort of, but they're not really mine. They're Brian's things that Brian won't go do, so I will do.
And I think, let's talk to Dave Weiler. I think he's going to be fine with this, but then also, we have to make you an offer. You have to know how much we're paying you per hour and everything
else. Right, guys, offer is fair. I'm not worried about that. You just make me an offer and I accept it.
Steve,
$5.
Yeah.
What?
They're giving you extra benefits than they gave me.
We'll give you 50 cents more than we paid you.
Okay. I'll take it.
Senor.
Don't ask me what they paid me because I still don't know.
So I would say then somewhere. Work out a time with you and Dave could get together.
Okay.
And maybe one other person.
Okay.
Don's retired.
He's here on Fridays.
Yeah. So does that work? Just maybe you get with Dave.
Well, Brett, why don't you call Dave since he talked to you? And just,
yeah, I'll talk with him.
Okay.
See. Yeah, he's got his board meeting tonight. I'll get a hold of him tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll send him an email tonight, and then I'll call him tomorrow.
Okay.
Because he knows how I feel.
Yeah. And this is one of those where I think we decide, we tell the staff what's happening. We don't need their input, but we'll give them a heads up.
And then as far as announcing to the church, October 1st is second week, you said.
October 7th 8th. Is
the... So we've got two Sundays, right? Between now
and so then, not tomorrow when the staff are together, but the next week we'll be at the point where we can tell the staff?
Yeah, okay.
Well, really, so it depends on what day he's starting. Because the 29th is this weekend, so if he's not starting the week of the 1st, which is this week, this coming week, It would be the week of the 6th, so it would be, if he's starting on that, the 6th, the Monday, the Tuesday would be the next, the time that all the staff is
so there. This Tuesday.
So today would be, or tomorrow would be the first time to tell them.
Or no, next Tuesday.
Well, no, tomorrow, the staff isn't meeting tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So next Tuesday will be the 2nd. Yes. If he doesn't start till the 9th.
Yeah.
Is
that right? Yeah,
that's good.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm preaching, so. Yeah. These days are just running.
I feel like you need an admin minister to help keep track of that calendar for you.
Can you please?
So I can go to that meeting on the 2nd.
Second.
Yeah, that's right. Let them know.
And he'd start on the 8th.
And I will try not to tell anybody tomorrow that is in the office.
And so do we announce to the congregation Sunday, this Sunday, the 29th?
No, we let the staff know first.
Okay.
And then so it'll be the 6th.
Got it.
The day before his first week.
7th.
Philip's preaching, and we got the mini golf.
Ah.
That's on the 6th.
Hmm. Okay.
Great. I think it's going to help us.
Let's hope so. I hope so.
So do we need to iron out the job description? Or?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, should we?
I would say he probably needs to sit in it a little bit, because he created his own job description to a point.
That's what I'm saying. Should I marry that with the one I made and then give that to you, and then you can exercise it?
Let him
do it.
Let him see it first.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll give you my Word document.
That'd be good.
And you can combine that.
Yeah.
And give us that proposal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited.
I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Yeah. It'll be a blessing.
8:12 p.m.
You're on a record pace here, Brad.
You are. I'm trying. Somebody said they had some new business.
I have one. This is a short one, an idea. And I'll tell you where it came from. On our interview today, he was asking about us, and I said, we're a very friendly church. And it's something I've thought I may have said one or two other times, but we're not real hospitable. Where when people come, well, we're just friendly. We just all over them, do a great job with that. But the idea of being hospitable and inviting people over to our homes, we're really not doing that. And it's a cultural thing. Not many people are doing that. I would love to see us do it more. Maybe that's something we can look at in the first of the year, really pushing that. But I was thinking about with the elders on probably the second Sunday of December, that evening, having, and I think McKnight used to do this, have a reception in our homes, and we invite the church to come for just a Christmas, not a party, but just a, I don't know what term we'd use, but when we have 8 of us, maybe we just divide it and have 4 and have it, strategically geographical. So just think about that, and we can talk about it. I think it'd be a good...
What does Susan think about it?
Well, if we do it, I'm not going to tell her it was my idea.
Wait a minute.
Susan's, her stress level right now is really high, where she would, I think I could talk her into hosting one, but I'm not telling her it was my idea. So, but I think it would be something good for the church, for having people in each other's homes, and I think this would be a good start, having people in our homes. So that's just an idea to think about.
You can blame the McLawns, because the McLawns had that as the goal. Us in Fogarty, we're trying to have people in every month at least once.
Oh, that's a great goal.
We did a really good job. I think we had lunch out with two couples.
Good.
And one time over at Fogarty's house. We had a whole list, and it did not happen. Mm. So
it's hard.
It is hard.
It's like between things in life. Yeah. And that was before I was a children's minister. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
I'd love to see us do that more as a church and as a leadership.
It's a great idea.
And when my wife retires, she said that's one of the plans, is we can do more of that. So I just hope she can retire soon.
Sometimes years ago when we used to do it, you didn't really think about the menu, but now I gotta think about the menu, like gluten-free,
allergies,
salt-free,
Just
and all this, it's almost like you have to send out a menu ahead of time. Fish, chicken, meat.
It's crazy.
Vegetarian?
That's right.
Well,
Because back in the days, all you could eat was spaghetti, you know.
Yeah.
They were so poor that we couldn't do anything.
Throw the casserole with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know my wife would not be thrilled with that. She likes to go out and have lunch with people and stuff, but, you know, having a lot of people over at once, it puts a lot of strain on the women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, because I see your wife as one of the hospitable ones, always having people over.
You know, I try to encourage her to, let's invite people over, and she said, no, let's take them out. You know, okay, you know.
I think that's a factor of our age, Brad.
It may be, you know. There's a lot of work involved, and you know,
it is.
So maybe what instead, if you're the idea of taking out. So this is what we had come up with, even for my family coming over a lot of times. We actually just buy stuff. We'll go to Qdoba. We'll buy their family meal kind of thing, or you can go to a barbecue place. And maybe that would be the easier. That like so that's what I've done with my wife. That it's like, okay, we're just gonna buy stuff. She's like, no, it's gonna cost too much. It's like, I'm still gonna buy it because I don't want you to have to do it.
Yeah.
And I know that it's gonna stress you out more if you have to make it than if you have to deal with me paying for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have the money. We're gonna still pay for it. This gives you your time where you can sit down and talk to the people that are there, as opposed to having to.
Well, when we had the youth ministers in our homes interviewing them, and I think you guys came
that
over
was good.
Twice, and we just bought fried chicken. It worked out great.
The other thing, I know this probably wouldn't work for some of you guys because of proximity, but my subdivision has a clubhouse. And so we had a meeting out there once, And so it's a little track for us, about 25-minute track for most people. So I'm willing to, if you get, you know, use that, you know, as a place where people just bring in a meal or a dish, and then we just have, you know, Christmas celebration there. Mm-hmm. So that's an option too, you know. So
also just something to think about as we get into the holiday. I guess maybe the next time we meet, we could kind of decide and say we're going to do it and tell our wives.
I'll call Susan.
Find who to blame.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to call time. It's 8:20.
Barb Eichel, can I give you an update on Barb Eichel real quick?
Sure.
Okay. So you guys remember she was in, and we said, hey, we're going to restructure the ministry. And so she and I kind of exchanged a couple of emails, and I think the other part we said, Dale Simpson has said, hey, utilize me for communication. You know, I have a captive audience that can communicate some things, push some things out for you guys. And so one of you guys look this over and see if you're okay with this going out to Dale to communicate about the ministry. This would be from the elders. And Brad had,
two men in
a
truck.
That was Brad. Brad said,
two men in a truck.
That's it. Brad said, hey, we need two men in a truck. So we just played on Brad's.
Something my wife said to me was, she said, if you start paying people for doing this, which is what I had suggested, we couldn't get it volunteers, she said, I think you're going to really upset Barb because she's poured her heart into this stuff.
Uh-huh.
So just keep that amongst ourselves.
So I don't think it'll be any pay. There's no pay here.
Okay.
This is just like...
I just wanted to throw that out there because I was thinking, where are we going to get these strong backs to lift, you know, all these cans and stuff, you know.
Do we know enough, Steve, to know that you could add to this that it requires one day a week?
Yeah, so I think...
10 to 12 in the morning?
I think we can kind of fine-tune that a little bit. But she said probably twice a month. And so we got, you know, maybe three times a month, depending on the time of the year. So if we had two crews, it would be just once a month for that crew. You know,
I can be with
that. I was going to say, I can do it too. Yeah. It's just, you have to kind of know the schedule.
That's what
I talked to Ben, and he was kind of hinted at.
Because she used us.
Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah.
Gone to the food bank with her and got the food.
Yeah. And Ben said that
she didn't let him know until the day before.
Right. Yeah, that was one of the things that, but she said she can actually give you a week's notice.
Yeah.
So I think that was part of Ben's frustration. He did say that, but he's willing to be a part of it as well. Yeah. So
I think you had plenty of volunteers. It's just, I think we just need a little more
information.
Yeah, timely information. Because it's true. She called, she would text us the day before and say, I need somebody at 11 o'clock.
Gotcha. You okay.
It just changes the way that she orders things, though. So that's when good things come in, and she's like, I just have to go get it now. Mm-hmm. So that's...
Well, and we could still try to address that. Correct. You know, but if the main ones are ones that can be scheduled...
She says she can do it a week in advance. And so if she does that, she can order her groceries a week in advance and then let the person know, hey, next Thursday at 1 o'clock is our window. Yeah, so
she only needs people during the week. She doesn't need more Saturday people.
She didn't express that, but
it's when the food bank's open.
Yeah.
Yeah, the food bank is usually not open on the weekend.
Yeah. But there might be
she does handouts on Saturdays though.
Correct. Once a month. Yeah. So okay, I'll fine tune that piece and add it in and then send it off to Dale.
Anything else?